I'm going to start a little early. Need a motion to come out of executive session.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Caputo. All in favor?
Aye.
Now in open session. Good afternoon and welcome to the October 9th, 2024 board meeting. Called the meeting to order at 4 o'clock p.m. and received a motion to go in executive session by Mr. Johnson, and it was seconded by Ms. Jones. Before we approve the agenda and before I take a roll call, I want to inform you that at the beginning of the month, Dr. Carson and I received a communication from Dr. Mastin indicating he wished to resign his seat on our Board of Education immediately. The resignation has been honored. We want to thank Dr. Mastin for his years of service and his inquisitive mind. We wish him all the best. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moment of silence, please. Thank you. Before we approve the agenda, I need to take a roll call. Mr. Johnson.
Here.
Ms. Wise.
Here.
Mr. Hayes.
Here.
Ms. Jones.
Here.
I'm here. Mr. Canoodle.
Here.
Need a motion for the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Wise, seconded by Ms. Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of the September 11th, 2024 board meeting regular and executive minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Ms. Wise. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Now we move to the superintendent's report.
Thank you, sir, and good evening, everyone. Thank you for your time and for being here this evening. We always appreciate it. We'll begin with the monthly financial reports and possibly the last ESSER report.
That's right. So I'm going to be presenting the monthly financials as of September 30th. And so far, we're at 25% of the year complete already. And 23.1% of payrolls complete. Our monthly, well, the tax collections report, our September tax collections were $2,356,710. So far this year, we've received 18.5% for our anticipated tax receipts. And last year, we were at 19.1%, so we're close to where we were last year. On the call center report, again, we're at 25% of the fiscal year complete, 23.1% of payroll is complete. On the local salary line, we're looking very good there. We're a couple points under our payroll expenditure percentage. There are several areas that are a little over their expenditure percentage, but if you go to the second page, our total expenditure percentage is slightly higher to where we are in the year, but like I've said in previous months, that's due to the extra expenses and encumbrances at the beginning of the year. So all that's needed at the beginning of the year, so this is very typical and in need of concern. And on the ESSER report, we're at zero. On ESSER 3. So the only thing we had in the month of September, we had a small payment for our contract expense on SREB contract, and we had payroll expenses for our mental health counselors, and they have now moved on to the opportunity. So.
just a comment and a compliment to Mrs. Hatfield and to Mrs. Mitchell, Angela Mitchell. We've been diligent about managing the ESSER funds over the last 4 years, and with a plan to finish this month and the impact of payroll. And if you think about a teeter-totter balancing, as Opportunity Fund was increasing and ESSER was decreasing, it was our intent to continue the services that have been brought into place and to seamlessly shift from ESSER to Opportunity along the way. Doesn't sound like a big deal, but it is a big deal. There were a lot of school districts that had to do RIFing in the spring because of a heavy dependency on ESSER funding that was going to go away. Again, I want to thank Mrs. Hatfield and Mrs. Mitchell for doing a great job of pre-planning and having the strategy to evolve those positions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Carson.
Kristen, just real quick, the SRO, why is that so far over budget?
Well, we budgeted the amount you see, and when they sent us the contract this year, State Police has gotten big raises this year, and they're going to, I think, get some more next year. So when we got the contract, it was more than what we thought it was going to be. So when we do our final budgets, like in December, we will probably take care of that.
Thank you.
And other areas that may need it. Anything else?
Thank you. District purchase orders, change orders, vouchers. List is shorter. Our Zoom capabilities are for the district are made available through a Zoom subscription. We split code that between local funds, adult ed, and our various programs, and so that's a continuation of that contract. We have the purchase order for SREB, indicating funding source being local funds and ESSER. That was also part of the ESSER expenditure. I will tell you, though, that the local portion of the expense for the contract itself is going to be absorbed by Title II of the consolidated grant, so there'll be a payroll funding allocation, which has been approved by the Department of Education. So in order to execute the contract, we encumbered local funds. Those local funds will be returned when we receive the consolidated purchase to Burmax for instructional supplies. It's actually State CTE. If you go and visit the cosmetology program, you'll see a bunch of it's Halloween, right? You see a bunch of heads on posts. And those noggins get haircuts and everything else throughout the year, and they they're done and they need to be replaced. And so this replaces those instructional supplies for that program. And again, paid for out of state CTE. You'll see as an informational item voucher to McAndrews Law Firm for settlement fees. This is paid for out of legal set aside. Payment to Kinsley Construction 1.1. This is for the continuation of site work construction for the new high school. And the board had approved the building of the new pole building K. Which is complete, and the voucher was executed for that payment also. Any questions regarding the vouchers? last month. We brought to you, and you'll have copies in your packet regarding freshman admissions lottery and building capacity. Again, as a preface, our school district, like other school districts, is covered under the choice legislation that guides the process for the state of Delaware. Mrs. Vickers had given you a copy of last month's that had the pretty green and red additions into it. And then the third document shows the changes that have come forth and what we're asking the board to take action on tonight. And it's outlined school choice and admissions process for freshmen coming into Sussex Tech, as well as upper class 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. I'm sure you noticed on the agenda later, there's actually a designation after a board approved for a public opportunity to discuss. There can certainly be public opportunity to discuss as part of public participation. I thought it created a technical problem in that about the regulation to have a comment about the choice policy before the board may or may not approve the choice policy. So agenda action shows second reading, asking for your approval, then needing to have the document. So we're getting the cart in front of the horse. So once they have the action taken first, and then the opportunity, second opportunity for public comment about choice. The previous conversations that started in the spring, the first reading conversations have led to no additional input from the public regarding our fine-tuning the choice or initiating and fine-tuning this. The policy also includes a title change from the previous one, which again talks about choice and lottery. The statement itself, that fair and equitable admissions process administered through the Data Service Center. The student and parent have to reside in Sussex County, and that proof of residency will be required. We have students who, I should say, there are districts, and we're one of them, where shenanigans get played about where is the student residing, but where do they actually go to school. And so the residency requirement under choice is essential to be able to do that within the county itself. The application is provided by the Delaware Department of Education. And again, this policy that's in front of you is not a is a compilation of policies from other districts. It's not an original work. These are practices that have been engaged by other school districts for years regarding choice into their district. And what we did was we pulled it together as it relates to Sussex Tech, and that's what's in front of you. So the application is made available by the department, administered through the Data Service Center. There's the period of time. Mr. Brittingham, Mr. Johnson have been witnesses to the lottery in the past as it comes through. Students have to be registered in their district of residence in order to be considered under the choice rule. For parent, and we put this in, there's a technology, we all know this, there's a change in how you participate in the world from a technology standpoint. You got to fill out an application online, you have to upload, you have to do different things in order to make that work. We understand that, but the policy also allows for a written application. So we wanted to make sure that our student services department at the high school was aware that if a parent didn't have the capacity for a technology application
that they had the ability to do that in writing by coming to school, getting documentation, being able to get help in filling out forms along the way. We're trying to make this as easy as possible and not have roadblocks for students to participate in the process itself. Students must include their, I think it says most recent, but at least their first quarter eighth grade report card, that they're passing their core subjects. Student data sheet will also be required as an item which must be include information about attendance, discipline, that has to be verified by the district of residence and included as part of their application. The student must not have been suspended, expelled, or absent from school without a valid excuse for more than 15 school days. Again, that's what's embedded, and some of this is in code of what the requirements are in order to be considered eligible, and attendance is viewed to be important. An acceptable proof of residency, a monthly utility bill in the parent or guardian's name dated within the last 30 days. They also, excuse me, must provide the final report card showing passage of their coursework by the deadline. If they've been expelled by another school district, they have to be readmitted to the district of residence in order to be considered an eligible student. Exceptions to the lottery. Some of these you're familiar with. Siblings of current students, children of permanent Sussex Tech, school district employees who either teach for the district or who work a minimum of 20 hours or more per week. That's a change in that, I think I mentioned this in first reading, we have an employee group, our cafeteria staff, who may not work 37 and a half hours a week, but one of the reasons that they come here to work and do things is because it provides an educational opportunity for their children. We're recommending to you that that be a legitimate reason to be considered eligible for the lottery, because you're still viewed as a permanent employee of the district. So the word permanent is key. Excuse me. We're going to try this again. Children of a Board of Education members. And superintendent exemption for safety or for program reasons. When we went through the choice process, we discussed this the last time also, there might be reasons that involve a student who is in a pickle, and decisions need to be made, and typically with cross communications with the district of residence. So we have that option. Upper class applications shall not be subject to the lottery process, but should only be admitted based on availability, requested area. I apologize for reading this to you, but I want you to thoroughly understand what's in here. Eligibility requirements for ninth grade applications. Preference for, again, siblings, employees, same protocol. The other allowance that's in there, that if we tonight there was a recommendation to hire staff, Dr. Peel made an executive, the board will take action and open. If there are children of employees who are just hired, they then receive the opportunity to be able to bring their children to Sussex Tech also, because it's not within that lottery window. So that's stated in the policy itself. With Mrs. Vickers' help, we pulled out selected legislative guidelines under Delaware Code Title 14 regarding, well, we gave them the whole code. You can click on it and read it, the whole thing right on through. This is where the 15 days of attendance comes from. Item 8 talks about duration of choice. We talked about this in the spring, the 2-year commitment. 4C at the bottom, if they have
ceases to meet academic requirements in order to be able to retain. We've exercised that. The students who didn't wish to continue to be, well, they may have wanted to, but they have to continue to show the effort. There's the bullying capacity. Also, you can make a switch out of choice requirement if you're engaged in a bullying incident. I think that also goes back into the safety issue that we talked about with the superintendent. The fact that notification has to be given to the parent that their child is at risk of maintaining attendance in the school, and this is what you can do in order to, we did that in the spring, if you recall, about academic coaching. This is where you can get help in order to be able to pull your grades up, improve your attendance, those types of things. There is a good cause choice exception. We believe that the two that are relevant to us, again, become the bullying under Section 4161 and a change in the state in which family residence is located. Reports regarding the lottery and this process all come to this Board of Education for approvals. We're not sending letters to folks and saying you're no longer eligible to attend here unless we've had discussion and a decision is made at the board level. The admissions lottery as a pack is brought to the board for consideration each year and recommendation for the superintendent regarding the policy itself. The other factor that I'm also considering, and it may go with academic standing, that the student is here because they have interest in the technical area in which they think they want to be here. I would tell you for the overwhelming majority of our students, that's a truthful statement. They're here because they're looking for a vocational technical education in a technical area, and they work hard and do well in those areas. We have a very small number of students who come here because somebody told them they had to come here, and that in some cases they're not engaged in the technical area, they're not involved. In some cases there's a disruption factor. So if you're on one side of this, if you're not doing the job academically, and we can make the statement and ask for parents to become engaged, and if the student doesn't, they can go. I also think a standard should be in play that if you're not here for technical reasons, that space could also then become available for a student who may want to have that. So I want to be clear about where we're going with this. I will continue to have conversations with the superintendents of the District of Residence. I will continue to have conversations with counselors about the program. Kelly has a counselors meeting coming up in November where we've been engaging in the process of enrolling students from District of Residence through adult education along the way. But it's kind of it really is an interesting conversation, because all we're bringing to them is exactly what they're doing and have been doing in districts of residence regarding choice and policy. There's nothing new here. There's nothing unique to Sussex Tech. It's taking what the code says is available to us from the choice, everything but the money, and then and putting it in play. If the board approves this tonight, I do intend for this to be an agenda item on the with the legislators, one opportunity being the advisory night in November along the way, because we have to address that piece of legislation, not the legislation, we have to address the code, which when this gets built will not be applicable to our situation. When I say when this gets built, when the new Sussex Technical High School gets built, the code is not current. My position is that the code should be eliminated.
I think this policy outlines what this board's belief is regarding capacity of the building, second item in the policy, and also what you have to do in order to maintain and be able to stay here. And I think that's, quite frankly, all the legislators wanted to know from the beginning, what are the rules. There'll still be a lottery. There'll still be that process that's in there, but you have to be able to get to the lottery, and the application will do that. And I think the data sheet will also be important. We may not have as many applications, quite frankly, because of the standard. What we're saying is that we want to know what your, you know, we have a student who has, you know, 40 or 50 absentees, and along the way, and the rule says you, if you're 15, they may not apply at all along the way. And so the root cause of that is, why is there 40 to 50? That's a district of residence question. But, you know, there have been students who have struggled in districts of residence who have come here and been very successful. So there's always that measure of standard also. That's why there's a superintendent's exemption, because possibly in grade 10 or grade 11, then, you know, with a conversation, if there's an open spot, we might be able to do something for a student in conjunction with the district of residence. It's that cooperation. So, you know. Questions, concerns, comments regarding the choice policy?
Any consideration for homeless students?
Homeless students are going, absolutely. Homeless students are going to have a connection to a district of residence through McKinney-Vento. So they have every opportunity to apply into the program, just as any student would.
Even though they need to be living in Kent County at the time.
Yeah, and that's where the residency question comes in. It's a matter of you need to be a Sussex County resident in order to come to the school. But as you're aware, homeless students, depending upon, because of McKinney-Vento and other things, your housing arrangement doesn't always dictate where you go to school, because
right.
Your school, there are many a student who get transported from New Castle County to schools in Kent County, and some to Sussex, along the way. And again, I think the better way to address that is the root cause of how we can help families and students obtain that residency and go from there. But yes, the opportunity to be available.
I just like the data sheet. I think that's excellent for the district to sign off on that, and gives us a lot of information.
Anybody else? Thank you. Dr. Peel said this is the last time we're going to talk about harassment.
Hopefully.
You'll see we did make correction. There was a typographical error, I believe, in the first page, but bring this to you for a second reading. Also, note that we are sunsetting or retiring the other two policies, and then this one is replacing those two. So those are with the strike. Questions?
Those are the only changes from the last reading?
Yeah, the only change was really to update that one typographical error, and just wanted to note that we're also retiring the other two along with this.
Does anyone have any questions regarding staff harassment, guidelines for conducting investigations, so on and so on? Thank you, Dr. Field. Mr. Athey, facilities update, please.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
As always, nothing much exciting. But we are getting one step closer. Again, just the highlights from some changes when this was submitted a week ago. Natural gas, the utility is finalizing their design. They've asked for some updated loads and some potential real-world calculations on that load, but it's still progressing forward. They're just looking at, to see what the realistic model might be. And with the sewer, the final agreements were executed, were received, signed, sent back. They've sent us a copy as well. So water, sewer, 100%, and natural gas, we're just waiting for their final design. The site plan, again, if you're anywhere near the west side of the district, you will see that the building pad continues to rise. Stormwater ponds are getting completed. The one across the street is the easiest to see. Hydro seeding has taken place. It's germinating and stabilized there, as are some other ones on campus. All of the DENREC inspections and reports that we've seen come through, we're in compliance. We are good to go. So Kinsley's doing a bang up job on what they're doing, and also very cooperative, by the way. Miss Derrickson loves to throw some curveballs at us, and Kinsley is very willing to accommodate, and it actually it helps them as well. So we'll see. They've taken down some of the chain link fencing that helps the groundbreaking ceremony, but that also allows them easier access, which we had initially asked them to keep the fence up as an additional barrier just in case someone gets into the construction area. But now it's a moot point, and they have full access to that. Obviously, in the stadium parking lot, you see a lot of piping and structures, concrete structures in there. If you look today, it's not what was there yesterday, but it's more stuff that came in. Other things went in the ground. So that's in constant flux as well. Just driving by, you know, people might say, oh, wait, it's still just sitting there. I guarantee it's not the same stuff that was there the day before. The initial asbestos abatement in the buildings to come down has been completed and inspected. Everything went smoothly there. Not too many ET moments with the white suits. All that was contained inside, as was the rest of the job. DLDOT payment for the required work was processed as well, and that is the additional crosswalk across our main entrance that DLDOT wanted us or needed us to put in. So they need us to put it in, we pay them, they take care of it, and good to go there. Layout design, yesterday we did have a bid opening. Just very briefly, I think it went well overall. Of course, it's an arduous process to truly vet everything, go through, make sure the bids themselves are valid, all the documentation is there, and everything's included. So RYJ actually has a schedule set up beginning Monday. They're starting it now, but the formal one going through each individual contract starts Monday, and they have time frames there. So we will get to that to approve at a later date, an additional board meeting. The RFI process on here, it says continuing. Again, this is given a week ahead of time. We had over 400, I think it was like 438 RFIs. Some are duplicates, but that process has ended. And all the information was received by the bidders and architects and other people to whom the questions were posed and asked and answered. Building materials, finishes, visual design, believe it or not, still ongoing. Just trying to make sure we try to capture everything possible. The equipment questions and clarifications are still continuing. We have nice little spreadsheets that we continue to try to get additional information of what we'll actually need to come into the new building and or from the old building. Met with Mr. Stewart, strength and conditioning coach, yesterday. So plans in place to start moving some of the PTS instructors into the building or other classrooms for next school year. So again, we start as early as possible. We don't want to do anything last minute or knee jerk if we don't have to. So have a general layout, and we'll look at all the different options there to still provide the best we can for the day program as well as athletics and after school, who also uses the weight facilities. And the existing facilities, waste pipe issues are being addressed. Again, we always get some weird stuff flushed down toilets and not quite sure how it even fits, but our crews find interesting things, everything from children's toys to full pairs of jeans, and we've actually found a couple bricks at different times. So as those go through the system, sometimes they might cause a little clog, we get it taken care of. So if you do hear anything about, you know, locker rooms having things backed up in them, that is true. It always seems to happen on a Friday afternoon, but Roto River has been great, and they get here within 20, 25 minutes and get us flowing again. So, yes, flush the troubles right down the drain. That is great. So, again, that's in a nutshell what was not on here. If you go to the north side of the playground, you will see an area cut out in preparation for the whole building. B, C, D, one of those, for the dry storage to accommodate construction as well as maintenance needs. And we've been able to, in addition to the 10 parking spaces we added along the fence with gravel area, we've been able to open 4 more up beside that cutout pad. So again, just trying to accommodate the needs of adult education, daycare staff, teaching staff, and all the visitors, but at the same time, doing what we can to move things forward. So that was pretty short. Any questions?
Did want to mention that Mr. Athey, Mrs. Warrington, publicly, Mr. Canola, Mr. Johnson done a great job representing the district on the construction committee. RFI stands for Request for Information. I would tell you that without their diligence and HUD's in particular, that number could have been 800-900 RFIs, but because of good work that was done prior to getting there, still too many, but we were, I think, pretty diligent about that. But it's RFIs come from people who are bidding. Like, what does this mean on this sheet? What does this mean on this? And so that last 30 days of discussions was a lot of quick back and forth. A lot of conversation with the architects and RYJ, and there were a lot of hands in yesterday's bid, and yes, we believe it's going to go out fine. I think we're probably about 10 days out from knowing exactly where we are, and yes, we'll be asking the board for a special board meeting to address the contracts that we'll be recommending to be released going forward, probably by the end of the month to do that, but we didn't leave yesterday crying, so we think that things are going to be fine, which is good. But again, a lot of great work by Mr. Anthony, Ms. Swarton, and the committee, and others. So just wanted to say thank you for that.
Thank you.
Mrs. Whaley, adult education.
Hey, everybody. Start to school year. As you can see, our fall enrollment is up. As of September 30, we were at 2640. This time last year, we were at 2328. And then this time in 2022, it was 1702. So we're continuing to grow. I have on here our current wait list is 600. That was as of 9:30. I have one that's hot off the press today. As of this morning, it is 702. So last year at this time it was 300, and that was only ESL. We only had a wait list for ESL last year. But I think in your packet you have a chart of our wait list. So you can see we have lots of programs that have wait lists. The ones that change from what you have is ABE, Adult Basic Education, GED is now has a wait list of 69. And English as a second language now has 513. So,
is that due to not enough teachers, instructors,
or
space?
Funding, space, you know.
All of the above.
Demand.
Yes. And I would say at least 75% or more now are Haitian Creole and non-Hispanic. And Senator Brown, even though the task force is over, he still has, he's calling us an interest group, that is meeting, and he has requested the state's wait list for ESL and adult basic education. So Maureen Whalen will be giving that to him on Friday. Right now, there are 1,000 people on that wait list for the state. It is, by and large, Johnson Polytech. I think Del Tech and Georgetown had 9. To serve more students, we have added classes and sections this year. And we did that with some of the extra funding that we got from Senator Brown's task force last year. We got, with the state money, we got extra money, but with the federal grant, there was a cut. When it was all said and done, we came out about $78,000 ahead of where we were last year. So we have added an ESL class at the Milton Library. One at the Department of Labor. We already had a GED class in the Department of Labor, so we've added an ESL class there, so we are now there 4 mornings a week. We have added an additional section of ESL classes at Seaford High School. Last year we had 3 classes there, so this year we have 4. We've added 2 family literacy classes at North Georgetown Elementary and a GED class at the Lewis Library. So we are trying to, again, spread ourselves out and cover the county as best we can and meet students where they are, because, you know, again, transportation is probably number one. Transportation and childcare, those are the two barriers that we hear all the time. Are there any questions so far? Okay, dual enrollment is also hopping. We have some new articulation agreements. One is with Cape and Lopin School District. The other one is with Indian River School District. Indian River one is for Sussex Central High School in particular, and they are both for certified nursing assistant, and we're going to be working to create similar articulation agreements with other districts throughout the year. Those are the two that had the largest interest in and where we started. Our Sussex Tech dual enrollment class, our phlebotomy class, has 25 students enrolled in it this semester, and they have already started. They're rocking and rolling. And then in January, those same students will take EKG with us for dual enrollment. So when they graduate, they will have their CNA from, if they're in Mrs. Massaro's area, they'll have their CNA and their phlebotomy and EKG. I believe there are also a couple of athletic healthcare students in there as well. Let's see, dual enrollment forklift classes. We're going to run those again this year, and they'll start on October 22nd. And we are expanding the tech rotation program to serve 30 students this year. Last year we served 20. And if you remember, those are students that come from the neighboring districts after school, and they work, they do a rotation through the trades classes, and then Mike starts them in the core class. And a lot of them from last year have come back this year and are in year one. And that project is funded through the Rodel Connected grant. We were recently awarded a Department of Labor grant that will fund a GED Groves dual enrollment class. I was like, how come, you know, we have our GED and Groves adult ed students. I said they should be able to do dual enrollment too. So we got a grant from DOL, and that will allow them to be dual enrolled in working on either their GED or their high school diploma, and then also enroll in one of the construction trades programs or transportation, so it covers CDL A and B. The grant will cover 16 students this year, because, you know, we start small and we'll grow. And we've had over 50 students sign up, so there will be another wait list. let's see, those classes will start in January. And then we have also partnered with Indian River, in addition to the CNA at Sussex Central. We have partnered with Indian River to offer more ESL classes to parents of students in the Indian River School District. So we already had a class running at Philip Shaw Elementary two nights a week for adult ESL program. And then we are, as I told you, we've added a new family literacy site at North Georgetown Elementary. That's being funded partially through our state family literacy grant and a grant through the Marsh Cannon Foundation. And then North Georgetown is providing a snack for the students, for the kids, each night. So with family literacy, the parents and the students attend together. And then Indian River contacted me and wanted to know if they wanted to partner for a class, classes at GMS that they had funding. They're paying for those teachers. We're running the program, the curriculum, and actually, you know, they had us interview the teachers and all that. They're paying for the teachers and providing the space. So that, we have three classes there, so that is serving up to 75 students who would otherwise be on the wait list. So that's a really good place. We're very proud of that. And actually, Kim Banks, who is our ESL coordinator, was at a statewide ESL meeting yesterday, and Seaford's multi-language learner coordinator was there, and she said she was asking a lot of questions. She says, Kelly, don't be surprised if she calls you and wants to do the same thing. Okay. Because there is definitely a need over in the Seaford area, so I believe just at the at our Seaford High School site, I think there's 75 people on the waiting list. 75 people. So lots of exciting things going on there. And when we did our North Georgetown enrollment, we had 120 families sign up, and we can for the space that we have. So they're definitely interested. There's definitely a need. They're wanting to learn English so that they can get better jobs, they can participate in our community, they can communicate with their children's teachers and advocate for their kids and that kind of thing. So it's, and they work really, really hard when they're in class. During September, we also celebrated Adult Education and Family Literacy Week. That was the week of September 16th through the 20th. Students at most of our sites were visited by representatives from Delaware libraries who talked to them about resources available to them at the libraries. They all filled out applications for library cards. So that was really neat. They all got library cards, and they explained to them how they could, you know, go online and, you know, use their online resources with a library card as well. And then we received a proclamation from the Delaware Senate, and Senator Buxton came down and visited one of our ESL classes and presented that proclamation to us. Our new CDLA truck is across the street. It's all wrapped and pretty. And now, so we have a manual truck and an automatic truck for our students to practice in. And the CDLB truck, can you see it? It's out there too, but it's wrapped now as well, so they're pretty. And Mike says he's going to take the class so that he can drive them. So I gotta watch out. If you see the truck coming down real like this, it's like. So our health professions classes started September 16th. Apprenticeship started September 23rd. Classes and the parking lots are full. All is going well. Any questions?
Any questions for Mrs. Whaley?
If you have 120 families show up for 50 slots, first come, first serve.
Yep. And they go on a waiting list because sometimes, you know, people sign up and then they don't come or some, you know, something happens. So we do keep that waiting list and we'll call them in as spaces open up. But with this large of a waiting list, I'm not unfolding.
Mrs. Whaley, you and your team continue to do a great job. Nice work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
As I said, I love it.
I've asked Dr. Donovan and Mrs. Whaley to give the board an update. Last month, Dr. Maston asked a question about the articulation agreements with Polytech and Newcastle, so we thought it'd be fitting to tell you what we've become engaged with. So, Dr. Donovan, Mrs. Whaley.
Thank you. In your packet, you have the agenda from the event on September 6th. And you also have a copy of one of the articulation agreements that Dr. Carson, Dr. Jones, Dr. Dickerson, the three superintendents of three county tech schools, signed. It was a nice event. We took all of our team members up. They were a part of that. Support Dr. Carson in that venture. This is a culmination of work done through, some of it through Connect Ed, and it's an interaction between the three tech schools, adult ed programs, in an effort to align the courses that we teach. So in theory, if a student takes a course at Newcastle County Technical High School, one of the four, and it ends up moving down to Sussex County at some point in their adult life, they can interact with those coursework. So we've aligned it. This is a buildup of several months of interactions between the tech schools and meeting in the center of the state at Polytech and putting together some work. I want to compliment our own team because as Mrs. Whaley and myself and our teams interact and create those articulation agreements we've talked about here for several months, the language that we use for our articulation agreements fueled this articulation almost word for word. I pulled just to double check. I pulled our articulation agreement, and it's just exactly that part. So compliments to Kelly and her team, and some of we worked together to create that document. So if you see the work that a student does in high school, that helps them leapfrog into the post secondary opportunities at our adult education program. We talk about that every month.
I just think it's, you know, it's like I told Dr. Donovan, we've been doing this for years. This has just formalized it. It's like if a student graduates from Polytech High School and they come down here when they're 25 or whatever, you know, they can go into year two of apprenticeship if they completed that. It's just they get advanced standing no matter which technical high school. And the same thing, if they graduate from here, they go up to Poly or somewhere.
It does respect the fact that what might be the norm in Newcastle might not be in Sussex, but we align what can be aligned. Electrical HVAC and carpentry at the high school, the adult ed has electrical HVAC, carpentry, and plumbing. So it will continue to grow. We know we have more things on the horizon, but that's where the process is at this time. So it's not doing body of work.
Having some conversations about health mm-hmm. professions, also potential articulations, and some other things. Could be beneficial for students. Any questions for Dr. Donna, Mrs. Whaley, and the team? I echo everybody's worked hard to get this formalized and done, so thank you. Erickson? Information items and recognitions.
Maybe right along. Sussex Tech has recently received the DIAA 23-24 State Championship and Sportsmanship Award. This is the school's 18 consecutive years to receive this award, and we will be receiving a banner. I talked to Coach Quillen, and he told me it might come next year, but we will be receiving it, and we will display it as soon as it arrives. We recently, per request from some teachers, created a postcard, and it allows our teachers to write a note if a student does something good or they're improved in something. They can just pull this out of their desk, write them a note, address it, and put it in state mail and mail it off to them. And Mr. Bogger made sure that all teachers receive one at a faculty meeting. We've also created stickers. I have some if anybody wants them. But they're little round Sussex Tech stickers. So every year, Mr. Persilio sends stickers out to the students who are accepted in the lottery. So we changed them up a little bit this year, and we have these, and he will be sending them out soon, all February. You may have noticed on WBOC, we have our open house ads that are out. Open house is December 19th. New this year, we added a community day aspect
October,
to it.
October.
Thank you. We added a community day aspect to it, so we're inviting our community to come in and tour our building and meet our teachers and participate as well. That ad that you see on BOC was created by our media production students. In addition, we did the normal mailing that is done to all the eighth grade students in Sussex County, and this is the brochure that went out. And new for this year, you'll see there's a QR code for the Spanish version, but there's also one for a video. And it's a video of our CTE areas, again, created by our media production students. Some number information, our unit count results for this year. Division 1 is 106.46. Last year it was 104.19. And Division 2 is 189.39. Last year was 187.59. And students participating in our breakfast has gone up 77%, and lunch has been 13%. Also, our fuel pumps were installed, and they were inspected, and they're all good to go, and this is what they look like. And I know nothing about what I'm talking about now. I said they were inspected and approved, and this is what they look like. So, I'm here with Mr.
Athey. Good job, Mr.
Athey. I'm so honest.
You took the picture.
No.
No. Oh, name.
Mr. Athey provided that as well. You will be receiving a request from our Raven Nation band. They will be asking for board approval for an overnight trip in July to perform at the Nation's July 4th celebration in Washington, D.C. And this was a special invitation for them to represent the state of Delaware. And so that will be upcoming in the next few months at the board meeting. And just a few reminders, tonight there's a Powder Puff game. It starts at 6 o'clock in the Raven Stadium. We have the open house on the 19th of October. We have the groundbreaking on October 29th, which you should have all received an invitation for. And we have an advisory night on November 13th. You will receive an invitation. Those have not been mailed yet. Thank you.
Thank you. We know also we have Senator Pettijohn is also going to be joining us for Principal of the Day on Wednesday of next week.
Yes.
So we'll welcome the Senator back to take a walk around the school and get involved with students.
And Dr. Carson, also I forgot, there is the NHS NTHS induction ceremony on November 1st, which you should have all also received an invitation to attend.
Yes. Thank you very much.
And if you want to come to the dance, it's Friday night.
And if you want to chaperone,
with homecoming games tomorrow, we could go on.
Thank you very much. And that's all we have, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. We'll move to board reports. Ms. Jones.
The first legislative committee meeting of the DSBA was last Wednesday. We've got an update on the laws that had not been acted on acted on by our last meeting in May. We also, some new laws were introduced after our meeting in May and updated on those and looked at the legislative priorities. And again, the burden of proof is the main change in the legislative priorities. Any questions? Anything to add?
No, that was probably the conversation. From the board of the board's position, we're undertaking a superintendent's conversation for all districts, the level playing ground. And the climate study report that was initiated by the Department of Education, sorry about that, is still ongoing.
Climate study, yes.
Student instance reports of these student involved incidents, so suspensions.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes. Thank you, Ms. Jones. Next, we'll move to public participation. Hearing none, seeing none, then we're going to move to the agenda action items. Need a motion for the approval of personnel action items.
So moved.
Second.
So moved by Mr. Motion made by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Canoodle. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. I need a motion for the approval of the monthly financials and ESSER summary.
So moved.
Second. Marcel.
Motion made by Ms. Wise, seconded by Mr. Hayes. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Need a motion for the approval of the district purchase orders, change orders, and vouchers.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Jones, seconded by Ms. Wise. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of board policy JFA, freshman admissions/choice policy.
Moved. Will Canoodle.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Canoodle, seconded by Mr. Johnson. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of board policy GBAA, prevention of staff harassment.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Jones, seconded by Mr. Hayes. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, public information, school choice at Sussex Votech 2526. Do you have some comments? Is that that's not a motion?
This is not a motion. This is for the record that there was an opportunity for public comment regarding school choice at Sussex County Technical School District for the regarding the 25-26 school year. So if there were any members of the public who wanted to speak regarding policy that was just approved, JFA, choice policy, now would be the opportunity. I don't see anyone in attendance that chose to participate, but we would ask. Hearing none, sir, I think we can close that out and move to item 9.
Thank you. Next, we'll move to item 9. Is there any unfinished business or new business? Hearing none, our next board meeting is Wednesday, November 13th, 2024. I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Ms. Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Everyone.